yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's going to beat James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that. Scary Terry, elevated. You want to chase something down? Chase that Cheeto down.
Cedric Maxwell's in studio.
I think he's even shrugging on that one.
Whoa.
What the hell was that?
He falls into some sort of blackout during the games. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations.
Real quick, we're going to tell you, just what did that mean? Chase the Cheeto down.
I don't know.
Good.
I mean, I listen to you guys' show a lot, and I know you don't know what you're talking about.
We have no idea what we're talking about, ever.
I was listening to you guys doing your Jeopardy. I was just like, what happened to Black Jeopardy? That's what I wanted to say. SNL had
it would go over so well on the show. There would be no controversy.
It was absolutely hysterical.
Yes, Saturday Night Live has it because there's black people on the show.
See, wait a minute. There's something new here. If we breaking news here in Boston. Black man on show. I love this. Not even Black History Month? All right. Love you guys.
We're breaking all kinds of barriers.
Whoa. Martin Luther King would love this one, buddy.
That's right.
Breaking the mold.
We're very brave. GE has created game-changing solutions and advanced analytics for peak performance on the parquet.
Well, John's a big fan of New Edition. Does that count?
Yeah. This is a paid-for read. GE, the exclusive data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics, Danny Ainge. Hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We have your buddy here in studio, Mr. Cedric Maxwell's joining us this morning, Danny.
Oh, that's awesome. Love Cedric. But Cedric, I thought he was saying cheetah. Chasing the cheetah down. I said Cheeto.
Cheeto, Danny. Cheeto.
Yeah, Cedric doesn't seem like he remembers saying that.
A lot of things you can't remember like that. I was telling Danny, I said, when you are being an analyst on that side, especially on radio, and I know you didn't do it, but it is more about sound bites than anything else when you're talking, just to get people to remember things.
Right, like Pasta Joe. He's got some sound bites now.
Yes, he does.
God bless you, Dan.
Yes, quite a few sound bites.
I think everyone's got Pasta Joe fever.
There's nothing B.
That's right. He does have some. Well, first of all, I guess congratulations is in order of the success that you guys have had with the Cavaliers, two games up. What did you take? Because, I mean, it was really a tale of two games. Because the first game, it seemed like, you know, LeBron James didn't quite have the
passive
hustle that you expected. Yeah, passive. There were some plays where he just completely did not get back on defense. And we all knew it was coming in game two. He was going to be that guy that you saw in the Indiana series where he would try to go supernova. And even that didn't work. What can you say watching these two teams play about the level of energy that the two teams are playing with?
Well, I think that, you know, we had more energy in game two for sure, and in game one. I think that making shots brings energy. I think that LeBron tried to come out of the gates and dominate the game in game two, and we sort of held it all together for a while, and we started making shots. And in the third quarter, Terry Rozier, who didn't have a good first half, came out and really had a great third quarter. Jason Tatum had a great second quarter. Jaylen Brown had a great first quarter. And we just got a lot of good performances out of a lot of guys.
Danny, over your career, and, you know, me and you have been around a long time, have you ever seen anybody kind of like Terry Rozier? I'm trying to think back that we played with or you played against that could get that hot. I know Vinny Johnson, I think about him, but even Vinny Johnson was a lot more, you know, like from point A to point B. It's just like Terry just has these spurts where he goes crazy.
Yeah, no, it's been so fun to watch. You know, he just has really seized the opportunity once Kyrie went down and has given us a big boost offensively and defensively. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's become a really good shooter, and he's just a great kid. I couldn't be happier for him.
Isn't it amazing how the tone of the I'm trying to think of a good word, like the DNA of this team almost changed the day that Marcus Smart came back. It's like once he showed up, The attitude was there. The physicality was taken to a different level. And I know that Tyronn Lue, after the game, said something about the Celtics team and the way that they play and their physicality as they were gooning up on the Cavaliers. What did you think of his assessment and what he actually called the physicality of the Celtics gooning up?
Oh, I don't know what he was trying to say, but I think that every coach and every player in the league, you know, appreciates players like Marcus Smart. He plays hard. He plays multiple positions. I mean, he was guarding Tristan Thompson through a portion of that game in game two. So it's a credit to Marcus. Marcus does bring an inspirational passion to the game that is contagious to the rest of the guys. And
you should show him a video of your Piston playoff games, the games against the Pistons, and say, here. Look at this. This is physical basketball. What are you talking about, Lou?
We don't need to show Marcus any videos.
He's talking about showing Tyronn Lue those videos.
You want to see gooning it up? There you go.
Tyronn's seen all that stuff. He's been around a long time too. He's played in some NBA Finals games also, so he knows. But anyway, we're glad Marcus is on our side, and he's been a big addition, even with the thumb injury.
Danny, I had a little confrontation the other day with Mark Jackson, the analyst. And he said, Max, I heard something you said, and I totally disagree. And I said, I wonder if I'm going to talk to Danny about this. I was on one of these shows, ESPN something, and I said that I thought Marcus Smart is the best defender maybe the Celtics ever had. At the guard position. And Mark Jackson came at me and said, you know what? I heard what you said. It sounded good. But, you know, Dennis Johnson guarded me for the longest time. And I said, well, you know, Marcus is in that same vein, but I think Marcus is maybe just a little bit more physical. But he did mention Tony Allen. What do you think about the three guys?
You know, they're all three different. Marcus's strength is, I think he's better off the ball than anybody I've seen, in regardless of position.
Yeah.
As a rookie coming in, I mean, he has such great anticipation and instinct. DJ had great length and athleticism, and could block shots, and he'd win games with steals, just picking guys up, picking them clean. And Tony Allen was as good of individual defender as I've seen in the NBA over the last decade or two. So, yeah, I mean, all three of those guys are very, very special defensively. It's hard to say who's better. We like Marcus right now because
he's with us.
Right, but the game is changing too,
yeah.
Max.
I mean, yeah.
We defend pick and rolls different. We switch. You know, if DJ were playing in today's game at 6'4" and 215 pounds and his length, he could easily switch and guard multiple positions like Marcus does. But, I mean, that's a pretty big compliment to Marcus, though, just to be even mentioned in the same category as DJ and Tony Allen.
Danny, the NBA did not penalize J.R. Smith any further other than the flagrant foul for his push on Al Horford in Game 2. Do you agree with that ruling?
I do, yeah. I mean, it's a flagrant foul. He's in the air. And, you know, the league, a lot of times they rule on the result of the play. So if Al Horford would have gotten hurt on that play, then the league might have come down on J.R. Smith. But because he didn't get hurt, they ruled it a flagrant one.
I'm glad that he didn't get hurt, penalized more, because you want him on the court. He's been a big bag of nothing since he's been out there. Was it 0-for-7, I think, in game 2, J.R. Smith?
Yes.
But there was a player, and it's an unnamed player, on the Cavaliers. I think The Athletic got this quote, but I guess somebody was saying that they called you a blanking thief because of the Kyrie Irving trade. So when you look back on that trade, like, what do you think of that classification? Obviously, someone on the Cavaliers is very upset and thinks you fleeced him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the time will tell, but I think that the pick that we gave them had a chance to be the number one pick in the draft. It turned out to be number 8. But, you know, who knows? They may get a really good player with the eighth pick in this year's draft. There's some very good players at the top of the draft. Isaiah, I mean, they may got Jordan Clarkson. And, you know, they turned Isaiah and Jay Crowder into other pieces, Clarkson and Hood and so forth. And so, you know, like time will tell on all these trades. But at the time, you know, we were criticized for giving up too much, and we gave up a lot. Like, we liked Jay Crowder, and we liked Isaiah Thomas, and we liked that Brooklyn pick. So I thought it was a fair trade at the time, and both players, both key players in Isaiah and Kyrie aren't playing in this series, which is interesting. But we liked the trade for us then, and we like it now, and hopefully it works out good for both teams.
Danny, what kind of conversations have you had with Kyrie lately? I mean, have you spoken with him? Because obviously this is an interesting series, him playing his old team, you know, even for Brad to be able to pick his brain. Also, you know, there's that thing that I know some people are talking about, although we know Kyrie as a competitor probably doesn't feel this way, but he sees this team without him winning at a high level. Is there something that you feel as a GM you have to kind of say to him and talk to him at this time?
You know, I talked to Kyrie last night. I talked to him, you know, every other day anyway, and Gordon. It's hard on those guys. I mean, this is why they wanted to come to Boston, was what's going on right now, and they don't get to be a part of it right now. But they are excited for this young group of guys and Al Horford, and they're excited for all those guys. But I mean, it is hard when you're watching your team have the kind of success that they've had, and without them, and all I can think of is how good we're going to be with them. Ooh. Because those guys are good, and our depth will be great, It'll be a lot of fun.
I'll credit Felger and Maz for this because they brought this up and I thought it was fairly interesting. The narrative around this team is, and probably rightly so, is that Brad Stevens is working magic and Brad Stevens is, you know, the reason that this team is doing what it does. Is there a point as a player where you get sick of that and you're like, hey, I'm playing, I'm on, and the coach is getting all this kind of credit, and can that wear on a team as years go by?
So I think that there is a danger in that, but I think that because the players know Brad and they know his humility and they know that he's not seeking that, I don't think there's any issues with that, all that. But, I mean, Brad does get a lot of attention, and there's not a coach in the NBA that I would trade Brad for. I mean, he's the best, and we love him. But, you know, the players are playing great. I mean, like Max mentioned, Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart and Al Horford's playing as good as I've ever seen him play right now. And so, like, I think the players do deserve the credit. Brad's a terrific coach, but, you know, the NBA is a player's game.
All right, so I'm not going to ask you about Hayward, even though it has been good luck and it's been a tradition. I do it every single week.
You're breaking the
streak here. All right, I'll go ahead and do it. Is Hayward coming back?
No.
Okay, good. We got that out of the way. What about Shane Larkin, though? Like, he's the one name, the one guy that's out there that we don't know is definitely out for the season. What do you know as far as his possibility of coming back at some point?
You know, we're just taking it week by week right now. We're not counting on him coming back, but, I mean, I'll leave the door open a little bit for him to come back in another series if we get that far.
But he is prepping as if there might possibly be a chance that he could be coming back this season, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. One last thing I want to ask you about. Is there any way, and I'm going to ask this now because we got Cedric here in studio, is there any way you could ask the powers that be to get Cedric Maxwell and Sean Graney closer to the damn court so they can see the game?
I don't even know where they sit.
That's a problem.
That might be a
problem.
If you don't
not
see
visible.
Side,
do
that's
you,
a problem.
Do you realize that Granny most of the time calls the game watching a TV that's in front of him and not actually watching the game in front of him? Well, we got to change
wait,
that,
wait,
right,
wait,
Cedric?
Wait. Why are you guys putting me in that? I didn't say you. I see perfectly.
I'm going to bat for you, all right?
No, you're going to bat for Sean. I see the game perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I can't see the play out of the corner when they shoot the ball out of I think it's the left corner. I can't. Yeah, I don't know. All corner. I see hit the rim.
But that is part of the game. And so that's, there's got to be a way.
Well, we sat at the one time we did. We sat at the very top of the arena. And where the Bruins, would have.
Yes, sure. Right.
And I couldn't tell if Shaq was black or white. I couldn't tell. He was that far away. So I could tell. It was just a shape.
Large.
It was just a shape.
Right.
So I'd rather sit there than any place else.
Okay.
So is there anything we could do, Danny, to help these guys be able to?
I think that you should get some binoculars and watch the game closer, but. I mean, that's where Tommy Heinsohn and Johnny Most used to be.
Well, Tommy Heinsohn needs binoculars to read a menu. Danny, while I have you on the phone and Cedric Maxwell in studio, I was watching that documentary about the Lakers-Celtics rivalry and Cedric Maxwell, making the choke sign and everything. Does James Worthy legitimately still dislike you guys?
I hope so.
I have no idea.
Because it seemed like he really doesn't like Cedric.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. I mean, Danny, we played the Lakers last year, and obviously our bench is where our broadcasting spot is right beside the Laker bench. And I'm sitting there about to put my headphones on, and as I put them on, somebody like slaps me in the back of the head. So I look to my left. I don't see anybody. I look to my right, and Magic was walking down there laughing as he slapped me in the back of the head. So there is still some animosity there. Something like that.
I think he was just playing with you. I mean, those guys have such great respect, I think, for Cedric. In that 84 series, he was MVP of that series, and he took over that game. Game 7 was a big. It was probably a series that we didn't deserve to win, but we hung in there, fought, battled, and that was a great team. And Cedric was such a great player. They probably remember that and will remember that forever. That was a series that they should have had. And Cedric stole it from them. So
stole it from them freaks, Danny, as we would say. Yeah. We stole it.
Well, is there a player in the league that you know for sure still hates you, Danny Ainge?
I have no idea. Players in the league today don't remember who I am, so it doesn't matter.
Well, all obviously right. Someone on the Cavaliers hates you right now because they think you're a thief.
More of his as an executive.
That's right. All right.
Danny Ainge, we always appreciate it. Congratulations on the success, and here's to more success. I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right.
See you, Sid.
All right.
All right. I tried, Cedric. I tried to get you an upgrade.
Talk to Sean and talk to this guy right here. These are the guys right now that are struggling. I just sit there and feed off their words. I don't even have to see the game.
I can tell by some of the clips.
Really? Absolutely. He's like, what'd you say, John? When John gets going, that's what I always say. When John comes in, like, one of these games, I said, boy, this is going to be an easy day because John comes in with saddlebags of stuff coming in. Okay, I got it. And this is where his brother had two shoes. Other brother and his wife didn't have a leg. And that guy, he didn't have an arm over there. Like, John, what are you talking about?
You know what? We had Grandy in earlier this week, and I think we talked to him more in that time period than you've probably talked to him in 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people ask me all the time, hey, do you and John ever go out? We have one trip. We have one go out a year. We go to San Antonio. We
right.
go to a place called Mi Tierra's. It's a 24-hour Mexican hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. And we have margaritas. And we laugh and we talk and we sing Kumbaya and black songs and all kinds of stuff. And then we walk home. And then we don't know each other again. So I love it.
It's beautiful. All right, Cedric Maxwell in studio, 617-779-0985.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa! Oh! 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 Oh!
new hero.
Lean up, bow to catch a ball exploding.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Cedric Maxwell in studio.
The incomparable.
The incomparable.
The black.
The magnetic.
The black.
Keep saying that, please. It fills, it fills the quota.
You're black.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cedric Maxwell is a black man. A proud black gentleman.
There you go. We're going to cross all racial barriers while we're here today.
That's right. That's right. There's nothing wrong with your TV.
We're going to set them back, though, but we're going
to... Well, this is kind of... Because I was hearing you guys talk off the air. First of all, I completely forgot about that story about with the where you guys had the bomb on the plane. That was when you were calling the game, right?
I was calling the game, yes.
Okay. And you had a theory about who might have possibly put that there, right?
Sean Grandy.
Okay. Because he was jealous of John Wallach. Yeah. So you said when John Wallach shows up, like, you get excited, right? That you get to work with him. And why
John,
is that?
John, because John has the saddlebags full. I mean, absolutely. There's nothing for me to say during that, but yeah, good play. Nice. Yeah, okay.
Now, how much do you have in front of you during the game?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's in your head, man.
That's right.
Yeah. I've been doing this for 25 years. What I do is I get the information that I need. And a lot of the things about your analyst, you have to figure who he is because the guy you're working with. And the play-by-play guy loves to do stats. Sean is full of stats. John Wallach's full of stats. So my job is to tell a story. My job is to go where you don't. Just tell a few anecdotes, you know, keep things going, keep them fresh. I always say I am ketchup on French fries. That's what I am.
Okay. And you're the French fry.
Apparently. French fry. Okay. Yes.
Do you ever, you ever tell him to calm down? Like, I mean, because that sounds to me like he's almost overprepared when he shows up.
I do have to calm down, John. John Wallach, he comes in. He is, you know what I love about John? He is so happy to be there. And it just shows on his face when he comes to work there. And he always, at the very end, he always, thanks, Max. I really appreciate you helping me. John, I just work here, okay? That's all. I'm not trying to help you.
He's lobbying for a job.
Well, no, but God bless him. The one thing that Wallach does not like is if you make fun of him about the play-by-play stuff.
See, I think he does a great job.
It does.
But I didn't say he didn't. Mm-hmm. He just does not like that. It's the one thing off the air he'll go like, I mean, come on, Fred. It's true.
I don't. I go right in.
Yes, indeed.
He'll miss a play, and I'll say, John, that wasn't that guy. He'll go,
was it?
No. Oh, okay. We'll get it back on the next. I said, John, you can't go back and revisit the
can't
play.
Be 100%. I can't. It's very frustrating.
It's not how this works. Yeah. So, okay, you said on TV, you know, that you believed that whoever won game two was going to win this entire series. You still believe that?
That's how it goes, yeah.
Okay, why is that?
Because I think the pressure now is even more so on LeBron to play well. You think about the way this game is being played. LeBron James has a huge triple-double. And essentially that is wasted because you still lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even in the game at the three-minute mark.
Yeah.
When the game is about over. I think when you play a game like that, and you're the Celtics right now, you put all the pressure on Cleveland. And a lot of the guys who have not played well, and John is sitting there and say, well, I didn't like the 4 days. I love the 4 days. Because the 4 days gives all those guys who haven't played well, it gives them a chance to get even more of the pucker factor, okay?
Yeah.
So when you pucker a little bit more, when you stand up and you're trying to get those shots off, you think about it, how poorly you've played. And so all the pressure is on them when you go back to Cleveland. And the Celtics just want to try to do like they did pretty much with Philly, get a split.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, because it's not like LeBron can play, because everyone's saying that's more rest for LeBron. LeBron can't play much better than he did in game two. It's the other guys that you're worried about in that situation.
Well, long as Al Horford, and this I say he's the key to this, if Al Horford dominates his position going against Kevin Love or makes that even, Celtics are going to be in great shape. Because I don't think that LeBron James can beat the other four or five guys by himself.
Yeah.
But that position, I think Kevin Love, because he can be so dominant and play well, that if Al Horford can match or just match him, I think the Celtics are so much better off.
You see, Cedric, I think that's another aspect of game two that's being underplayed, is that Kevin Love actually played pretty well. So not only did LeBron James have an unbelievable game, but Kevin Love played well, and Tyronn Lue tried everything as far as the lineups. Yeah. He switched up the stuff. So it's like, what more can these guys do?
Tried Larry they Nance threw the off whole, the bench. He threw a lot of different combinations
they
out
threw
there.
The kitchen sink yeah. at you in game two, and it still didn't work. And the only factor that you could possibly think maybe might help them is that they're at home. But even that can't be enough to make up that difference.
If there was one thing I would think would have been different, if Ty Lue could look back on it, it would be maybe the fact that J.R. Smith maybe shouldn't have played as many minutes. I think he did a great job when it came to guarding Tatum. But I think Kyle Korver playing a little bit more in that game, especially in the second half, I think could have been maybe a little different. But Kyle Korver, the thing that he has, a problem that he can't guard anybody.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that, because on the broadcast, they were trying to say that Kyle Korver is completely underrated as a defender. And I'm watching it, and Fred and I are going, what the hell are they talking
about?
Your
buddy Mark Jackson.
Yeah, Mark Jackson said that.
No, I mean, it's visible to a layman.
He can't defend.
Yeah.
Is he completely and totally off his rocker?
Well, when it comes to Jaylen Brown, there's no way. The comparison can't be there because he's too quick. He's too fast. And if you put on Tatum, too quick, too fast. So both of those guys, those nomad lions, like I said, those two guys, who's going to guard them? And that's the problem that Cleveland has.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that Shumpert who they've had over the last couple of years to guard somebody like that. So I'm not sure where you go to stop the forwards for the Celtics.
How are you feeling? We talked about Danny a little bit about this. If you're Kyrie Irving right now or you're Gordon Hayward, how are you feeling watching this team do all this without you?
I think you're happy for your teammates. But again, I think if you are realistically, it's unnerving.
Yeah.
To think that your team played that well without you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Danny's right. In the fact, I think Brad Stevens' biggest job, and you and I, because we're on radio here and we can go forward, his biggest job would be next year. Because if you have that much talent, how do you get all these guys to? Do you put Tatum back on the bench? Who's number?
You can't.
Who? Okay, all right. You don't go with Tatum. Okay.
Yeah.
Morris.
Morris, you got to put him on the bench.
Morris plays less. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have all these guys, and where's Rozier do next year? Do you put him back on the bench?
You're gonna have to.
Or trade him. And that's going to be. And I'm just surprised you guys didn't go there. You know, you guys are the best in the business. You didn't ask any of that.
Well, we know he doesn't answer the trade questions.
Not
with current players. Yeah, I mean, you know, guys that he's traded before, he'll tell us the entire backstory. But as far as guys who are on the roster right now, I mean, do you think that he wants it out there that he would consider trading Terry Rozier in the middle of this run?
You know, this is a funny story. Jason Tatum's dad came up to me and said, "Max, I have a bone to pick with you." I'm like, what's going on? He said, "You said that you would trade my son for Anthony Davis." I said, "Yeah, I would."
Hey, what are you supposed to say to that?
Yeah.
Your son's great.
Then I asked him, I say, tell you what, how about this? Take the fact that he's your son, take that out of the scenario. What do you say then? He would say, "I would tell my son, you ain't got to go, but you got to get the hell on up out of here." So I just think that if you look at this team, I think that, you know, that's the only part of anybody that I could see that you would really want to change.
Yeah.
You know, if you could get somebody like Anthony Davis. But other than that, the Celtics, essentially, they can stay pat for next year. As long, and this is my opinion, as long as you bring back Marcus Smart.
I agree.
He is like you guys say, he is the linchpin of what they do defensively. And I've talked to several people about it. And, you know, Jackie McMullen, who is a great writer around here, she said, "I watch Marcus Smart on defense. And every night," and she's been around the game a long time, "every night I watch him play, there's something new that he does every single night." And when you can say that about a player the way he does, and you know, and it's really strange how our fan base here collectively groans when Marcus gets ready to shoot.
It's not just, as much. We used to a lot more.
Well, they do.
Depends on which side of the pendulum he's on.
Yeah.
If he's hitting five or six of those in a row, but he could miss the
hearing
next 10.
Hearing the words Marcus Smart for three used to make me want to vomit.
Very dangerous, Max. You've seen enough of these games. Tell him he's wrong.
But I'm taking the good with the bad, you know, the bad with the good, because the good is so good. I mean, defensively, it's so phenomenal.
But you know what? The shot that he took against LeBron. In the second game, when LeBron had his hands down, Marcus was in the corner by himself, and LeBron just kind of looked at him, and Marcus knocked down a three. But
in the building, it was like,
yeah.
Don't.
Oh, good shot.
So, I mean, he's in that position, you know, but you have to trust him.
Yeah.
You have to trust him because he does so many things. Even if he's not shooting the ball well, he does so many things to pass the ball well, to set people up. He has been, a great facilitator of the game. And God knows the play that he made against Philly, I'm still right now wondering how he did it.
Yep.
When he missed that, well, first he was supposed to make the free throw. He missed that one.
Right.
But then he came back. He was supposed to miss it, made that one.
Yeah.
And then he was at the free throw line. And they threw the ball in,
and he was like he was in the Matrix, man.
He was all the way grabbing. I was like, how did he get from the free throw line to the corner?
He's just making himself. Fast? He's making himself so damn expensive right now.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's the one thing though is he's playing so well.
But that's a guy you might go into the luxury tax for.
Well, I mean,
is that necessary?
Because for a while they were saying $14 million. He's going to get more than that now. I mean, because now on a national stage, everyone's looking at how he completely changed the DNA of this team when he returned. So that's something Danny's going to think about as well.
Okay, I'll poll you guys right now. How much would you give him?
He's definitely worth 14. Now I'm a believer. You pay him 14, that's the number that was out there. Maybe 18. I mean, he's kind of your Draymond Green.
Okay, next.
Under.
If you let him walk, man, he's gone over.
Price is right rules. Yeah. You're not going to let him walk. He's a restricted free agent, right? So you give him the qualifying offer, then match whatever comes in.
But if the offer is $20 million, do you still match it?
$20 million is a bit steep.
That's a killer.
$20 million is a bit steep.
So I'm just saying.
4 years and $80 million is a bit much.
But that's the thing. You look at all these guys you have, and you're going, you can't keep everybody.
I know.
But he is one of those guys that God knows I want to keep.
What did Evan Turner get per year?
That's what he got.
So you're going to get that for Marcus Smart.
Something along those lines.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to move.
And that's for a team at the end of the day in Portland that didn't even play last year.
Right.
For the $90 million.
All right. So we will break. We are very late, but when you have these legends on the air, who cares about time? Here are the headlines.
We all have our morning routines.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go.
Scramble for the rebound. Horford's got it. Kick out Rozier. Steps to his left. Returns it to Horford. Now back to Rozier. Attacks the glass. Lays it up and in. And the Celtics are going to pull this off.
Woo! Man, you got to be kidding me, somebody. Oh! Why,
Elizabeth, why? 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Cedric Maxwell in studio, 617-779-0985. A pleasure off the air as well.
Oh.
Not a shrinking violet. A man who will have a conversation off the air.
I told you, I talk in sound bites.
And I felt compelled to tell you my financial woes.
I did. We both went there. Look, I had an ex-wife, okay?
Yeah.
Your woes would be you. Well, some money's missing. Man, I can tell you where some money's missing.
What? Oh, man. All right, well.
You had a problem, okay.
No, I have plenty of a problem, believe me.
And that's all been worked out, right? For the most part?
Until I'm holding something in my hand.
I know
the waiting is the hardest part. I understand.
It's all talking to
them. You should have heard me on the phone yesterday swearing, yelling.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So if this team goes to the finals, and let's say it's Golden State. I know the Rockets played way better than I thought they were going to last night, but let's say it's Golden State. Let's say it's the Rockets. You've seen them play both of these teams, and both the Rockets and Golden State, the Celtics always play well.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Granted... during the season, Kyrie was there, you know, in those games. What do you think the chances would be if they do move on to the finals against either one of those teams?
Okay, because we're analysts and we're radio people. We can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Danny would have a cat if, you know, right. He were ever talking about. But if they were able to get to the finals. Mm-hmm. Golden State does what you do better than you do.
Yeah, okay.
And the Celtics are trying to be Golden State. You look at the way Houston's playing. Houston has this thing where they are changed what
the league has done offensively. And you're looking at a whole nother concept. There's no more two-point shots. It's either a dunk, layup, or it's a three. So, but I think the Celtics, you know, play well against both teams. I just don't know if they have enough to beat those teams in a seven-game series.
Yeah.
I felt a lot more confident in these series so far. But in the seven-game series against a team like Golden State, boy, you really have to you're going to have to play almost perfect.
Looking at Golden State from several years ago, do you see kind of what the Celtics are now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it looks like a blueprint almost.
If you had Gordon Haywood and Kyrie Irving on your team, I would have no fear. I would go out on a limb and say the Celtics could beat Golden State.
What would be better?
The only person you don't have an answer for, and this is everybody in the league right now, is that big tall guy over there. And when you watch Durant play, there's no answer at all that anybody has defensively guarding him. I think you can slow down Curry, you can slow down Thompson, but there's no answer for that seven-footer bringing the ball down, posting up, playing like a guard. That is the difference between Golden State and everybody else.
How big of a problem is that if you can do like what the Celtics did? If you can shut down everyone else outside of him and just do your best against Kevin Durant, is that a winnable competition?
I just think that when you look at their team, it's not the shutdown factor.
Yeah.
Because
so you're always slowing down the other guys.
Yeah, Klay Thompson, he's not going to miss these shots that J.R. Smith is missing. He's not missing them.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to say Curry. He ain't going to miss those kind of shots.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is a much better player.
Oh, Draymond versus Marcus Smart. That would be
Domi and Probert, which is a reference no one's going to get. But like the minute they threw the ball up, the two of them would just have to make a statement. Like they would just right. It would be right away.
That's right. 1-1A in the NHL in fighting.
Oh, right. It is because yes. Marcus Smart right now I view as like kind of being like Draymond Jr.
No,
like,
they would be those two guys. They would be akin to two dogs peeing around the tree. Who would pee more?
That's right.
Is this mine or yours? Is this mine or yours? Which one is
just
it?
Like Draymond went right after Harden and just, you know, elbowed him in the neck. Mm-hmm. The two of them would just go at it right away.
Oh, and that's why you want that. That's obviously the matchup you want. You want to take down the game.
I mean, just the fact that the Celtics are here
and
they're playing so well and they're advancing, I think that's the key to everything. I mean, you look at this team where they're playing the game right now. It has been unreal. And it's been just fun.
Credit to you. You're the only one who called this. You're the only one who predicted this. I don't know any other analyst who thought that they could possibly make the finals.
Wait a minute. The second best analyst just walked in here. Right
now. Yeah, it's two best color analysts in the city at the same time.
He does, right?
Somewhere, Bob Beers has a single tear.
Poor Bob Beers is listening to this like a son of a bitch.
He's out there playing golf. Max had fun with Bob Beers.
I'll be like, well, it's really, they pulled him down. They should call hooking there.
Bob has a tan 365 days. Yeah. In Boston.
That's right. They're competing with Brickley to see who can be, you know, tanner.
Yeah, well, Brickley, I think that's not natural.
Brickley's orange.
Your tan is natural.
Cedric Maxwell wants everyone to know that he's black.
Absolutely.
He's just
free at last. Thank God, Almighty.
He's finally broken the 98.5 Sports Hub color barrier.
That's right.
You know so many games.
Wait a minute. What doesn't look the same in here?
That's one of these things.
There you go.
I just would love to see Max's face because when you start doing as many games as he's called over his career, you just get like one tracked and you're so used to your routine. I just see John Wallach walk in one day and just see Max's face go like oh.
Really?
Not true.
Okay.
He likes
Wallach,
it.
I get excited about John Wallach coming because I've been working with Sean what now, 12 years?
Well, Sean's 13, got
12, 13, something like that.
You know how like Sean has those woman hands? You like that?
Whoa!
Sean's got those really skinny, small fingers.
First of all, I don't reach over there and try to grab it. No, we know he's shake hands. Get one of these
they
right here.
Like good job, man.
It's become quite obvious that they're not the best of friends.
Hey, I work with the hairiest kind of business.
That's true. You win there. Yeah. He has tiny everything, I would imagine. All right, so Cedric Maxwell, thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, you can hear Cedric Maxwell on the call of every Celtics game right here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Scott Zolak and Mark Bertrand are in next. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a fantastic day. Bye.